This is a good day to be alive, isn't it? Healthy, wealthy, and wise. You don't know about the wealthy? Christian people are the most wealthy people in the world. We have a Father in heaven that owns it all. So we're wealthy. And all we need to do when we have need of something is go to Him and ask Him, and He'll help us, won't He? He always does. I'm going to preach a message this morning I've never preached on before, communion. A lot of people take communion, they really don't understand what they're taking or what it's all about. And then some of you've heard it over the years so many times, a lot of it will be rerun to you and so forth. But some of the younger people need to understand what communion really is. If you'll stand, we'll read you a few verses of Scripture, we'll get right underway. And let me say before I do get started that I will, Sister Gordon and I are going to try to sneak out as quick as we can after service. We've got a family reunion at 1 o'clock and we would sure love to be there on time, but if not, we'll be late. So don't, if you have something to say, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. If God keeps us here longer, we'll be right here. We can eat later, visit them later, and all this. The scripture is found this morning in Exodus chapter number 12 and verses 13. And then I'm going to go, 12 and 13. I'm going to go to 13 verses 8 and 9 to get us started. Notice what it says in Exodus 12 and 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and where I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Dropping down to chapter 13, verse 8. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thy hand, and for a memorial, memorial between thee, between thine eyes, and the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of out of Egypt. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning. Help us, God, that we can understand better how to please you and how we can do things, Lord, that will be make you happy, Lord, that we are your children. So, God, we're happy that you are our Father, but we know, Lord, that it works two ways. So I'm praying this morning, God, that you help us to understand better what we must and need to do to make you happier with us. So today, God, I ask your blessings upon the message and the messenger and the people's ears that they might hear and understand what thus saith the word of the Lord in Jesus' name. And everybody says, because of Jesus' death on the cross and the resurrection from the tomb, eternal life is available to all who receive Jesus Christ. Communion. What is communion and what is its purpose? Now notice this. What is communion? In the Old Testament, there was a time that it was called Passover. Much of the symbols we have with our communion come from that time of celebration. In the Passover meal, the bread had a particular significance. When the Hebrew women, now I want you to notice this, here's some things that might grab you that you might not have known and you might have, but did you ever wonder why they used unleavened bread? Right here's going to explain why that we use unleavened bread as they did back then in that first Passover meal. So when the Hebrew women made their household bread, they took a piece of fermented dough they saved from a previous day and mixed it into their fresh flour. Now notice this. With time, the yeast would overtake the dough and she could then make her family's daily bread. After, now notice this, after saving a piece for future baking, of course. Now this is how this all come about, but notice something right here. But here's where the unleavened bread comes in, and this is why that we do this today. Now notice, when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage, there wasn't time to bake bread or hassle or mix it with the yeast. They ate their bread unleavened. So why did they do it? They didn't have time to bake the bread. They just had to grab something quick and bake it, and it was unleavened bread. It had no seasoning, and it had no yeast in it. It didn't rise. It was just flat as a pancake. Did you ever try to bake something with, you thought was self-rising flour, and you baked it with plain flour? And you baked a biscuit, and it was so flat and hard that you could hit a dog and knock him down with it. Please don't hit your husband with it. But this is what we need to understand. So here's where the unleavened bread. So eating unleavened bread became a reminder of the time when God delivered the children of Israel out of bondage. And we talked about this and read this to you just a few minutes ago, that God gives meaning to the unleavened bread. And he said, "And ye shall teach your son on that day, saying, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt." It's amazing, because we need to tell our children what God has brought us out of, what God has seen us through, what God has healed us from. Because a lot of people don't believe that God is still in the healing business, but they've come too late to tell me, because I know otherwise, and I know God still does the healing. "So it shall serve as a sign to you, and that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth, for a powerful hand that the Lord brought you out of Egypt." So now you know where the unleavened bread began. It began a long time ago. And it's something that is really amazing. At the Lord's Supper, the bread that celebrated the people's deliverance from Egypt's bondage take on a new meaning. But it all started way back then, and it was called Passover then. Now it commemorates Jesus' broken body and celebrates a Christian's deliverance from the bondage of sin. Because of Jesus' death on the cross and the resurrection from the tomb, eternal life is available to all who will receive of Jesus Christ. Notice this. It's so important. You say, this is so kindergarten. No, it's not kindergarten. It started long before kindergarten was ever even established. So it started way back then. And we need to understand all we possibly can about it, and not do it in vain. Some people, every Sunday, they take communion. That's okay, because the Bible says, as often you do it in remembrance of me, and that's okay. But let it not become a ritual. Let it not become just something that they do it because they want to do it. It's very important that we understand. He says, "Take and eat the bread." Now then, when Jesus handed the cup to his disciples at the first communion, they normally would have thought of the blood of Jesus smeared on the doorpost of their ancestors and the homes in Egypt. So this was done in preparation of the 10th plague. This was done because this is something that Jesus told them to do, because they were being ready to get delivered, and it took the blood to save their children. I want to tell you, it still takes the blood to save our children. Do you know that? So we need to understand this. God instructed the children of Israel to put the blood of the Passover lamb on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house, or the upper part over the door. So he told them to do this thing. So God made a covenant with the people. When the death angel saw the blood on the doorpost, it would pass over that house. This is where the Passover word began in the scriptures, because it's called the Passover at that particular time, because of the angel, when it saw the blood, it would pass over that house. But if there was a house there and there wasn't any blood posted on the doorpost and the lintel, I tell you, the death angel came in, and the firstborn, whether it be a son, well, the son's the one he's talking about, but also the cattle and everything that they had. The firstborn, the death angel, would come by and did come by, and they were killed. The death angel literally killed them because God had already warned. I want to tell you, God has warned us. He's warned us that we need the blood applied not just to our doorpost and our lintel, but to our heart. Can you say amen to that? But if a house did not have the blood on the doorpost or the lintel, a death angel would visit their home and kill their firstborn son. Now, isn't that awful that this had to take place? And verse 13 of Exodus 12, and the blood shall be for you a token upon your house, as I said earlier, where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you or to smite you in the land of Egypt. Now, as the disciples drink the wine, or the fruit of the vine, we call it, they remember the blood covenant. They remember this. But Jesus reinterpreted the wine as a symbol of the new covenant. Now, see, this was the covenant applying the blood from of a lamb, and this is now, we do this in remembrance, and it is a symbolizer of the new covenant. It's a new covenant. We don't have to sacrifice animals to spill their little blood anymore because there was one supreme sacrifice, and that was Jesus, and Jesus did it once and for all mankind. No more sacrifice do we have to kill. No more animals. No more blood do we have to spill in all of this. Because I want to tell you, there come some of these pagan religions that they felt like that they needed to spill the blood of their own children. And they would sacrifice their children on the altar to Baal or to one of those false gods. It's awful. I tell you, it's something. And some of them thought it was all right if they threw their children in the fire and just let them burn. That was a sacrifice to certain gods. I want to tell you, folks, ignorant. People are more than ignorant. They're stupid. Because if they worship a false god, that is no more than being stupid, in my opinion. Pardon the word if that offends you. And pardon my saying so if that offends you. But I want to tell you, that's the way I see it. In 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with the corrupt things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions of your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold or the traditional things of the forefathers and all of this. We were not redeemed by perishable things. Some people even thought that they could buy the gift of God by giving money and all of this. You cannot buy the gift of God. It is free for us, even though it costs one of the most precious and the most horrible deaths that could even be imagined, and that is the blood of Jesus as they beat him to a pulp and then took him out and hung him on a cross and finished him off. And I want to tell you something, folks. He could have called a bunch of angels down. We call it 10,000 legion. He could have called millions and millions of angels had he desired to. And he could have destroyed the entire group of these people, but he chose not to. Why? Because this is why he came to the earth. He came to live and walk on the earth and then to die for the sins of the entire world. It's amazing to me how that anybody can love us enough and they don't want to see us lost, that they, as God the Father, sent his Son to redeem us back from our lost situation. And we need to understand this. But let me continue on. I got to kind of hurry a little bit because we got some things to do. But Luke 22, beginning with verse 14. And when the hour was come, he, meaning Jesus, sat down with the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you,
I will not anymore eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and he gave thanks, notice this, and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread. What did he do the first thing he took bread? Just like he did the fruit of the vine, what did he do? He gave thanks. What do we do before we get ready to eat our food? We best give thanks, hadn't we? Amen. All right. So he took bread, and he gave thanks and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is in the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And notice all these things. It all started way back thousands of years ago, and it's brought back, and it's even continuing on, even though Jesus has been gone around 2,000 years, and this continues on because he tells us to do these things. So today we celebrate the Lord's Supper with Christ. As we partake of the fruit of the vine, we celebrate eternal salvation. Now then in the scriptures also, I'm giving you some scriptures this morning. It's very important, though, that you understand to the fullest that you can about communion. So the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning with verse 23, for I, meaning Paul did this writing to the Corinthians, have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is in the New Testament of my blood, this do ye, as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread, now notice something, he didn't give no particular time, he just said as oft or often as you do this, and eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. And then in verse 27, wherefore, whosoever, now I want you to notice this very carefully. I want you to kind of weigh this out just a little bit. We're going to pray before we take communion and all of this. But notice what Paul also added in this. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let every man examine himself. Now here we go, folks. He's cautioning us and warning us, but then here he's saying, examine ourselves. Let every man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Now he's saying right here, he's telling us in verse 27 that we don't need to do this unworthy because we'd be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus. And then verse 28, he goes on and tells us, but let every man examine himself, or every person, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the cup. And in verse 29 it says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And in verse 30 says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That means death. Now notice this. For this cause. And what he's saying is, hey, if you do this unworthily, if you do this and you're not a Christian, you're in danger of being weak, sickly, and many sleep, he says. That means they die. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Now, I want you to notice, very important, folks, all he's trying to do is prepare us to be ready to do what his word says. And his word started out way back in Exodus when the children of Hebrew children was back there and they were in trouble and they wouldn't let him go. And now, hey, he allowed the lamb that they took, and they had to eat that lamb. They didn't eat any bread with that. Why? Because they didn't have time to bake bread. They didn't have time to stir up this and mix it with the yeast and all this stuff. They had to get out of there when God said, get out. But he said, put it over the doorpost. When the death angel comes, you're going to be spared. I want to tell you something, folks. When the angel comes through the sky and it's our time to leave this earth, if he sees the blood applied to our heart, hey, we're going to have it made. But if you don't see the blood applied to our heart, we're in trouble, folks. But we need to get ready today before we take communion. I've got two brothers going to come, and we've got we're not going to do the communion like we normally do. It's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit some of the fancier stuff, but it's still communion anyway. But I'd like for them to come wherever they are. There's one, there's two. And I want everybody that will and would, I want you to take communion. You take communion because you're strengthened when you take communion. And it's very important and valuable that you do this. But before we do, as they're preparing, before you come up, we're going to pray a prayer. We're going to pray a prayer, and we're going to ask God for something. I want you to repeat this prayer after me, if you will. Will you do it? Don't pay attention to what they're doing. Look at me, okay? Repeat this after me. Father God, if I have sinned, knowingly or unknowingly, I ask your forgiveness. I ask your forgiveness. I ask you to cleanse me. I ask you to set me free. Blot out anything that would hinder me from taking communion and doing it wholeheartedly in the name of Jesus. And everybody says amen. Amen. All right. You prayed that prayer. That's what else can you do? We've asked God to forgive us if we've sinned knowingly or unknowingly. And these guys are going to pass this out, but I want them to come up first. We don't want to spill it on the seats or anything. And I'll give me one, Jim, and I'll demonstrate it before we get started. But everyone that would, I want you to come on this little cup. Judy ordered this for us, and I'm so thankful she did. It has two little flaps. It has two little flaps on top. One of these you peel off first. And this is your little wafer. This is your unleavened bread. And so there's two. It's very simple. You just fold that little thing back and pull the first one off, and there is your unleavened bread. And then the other one, you pull it off, and there's the fruit of the vine. So everyone that would and would like to take part of this, I'd like for you to come and just line up. We've got plenty of room. Now, if you're not able to come up and you want to take communion, these guys will be right there by your side. They'll bring it to you. How's